This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We're back for a new episode. This is our pre-season episode where me and Danny are going to be discussing everything that's going on around pre-season. As I said there, I am joined by the one and only Danny Baker, has signed up for another season. He is part of the retained list, which we were very happy to sign. And yeah, he's back. We also got to say a big thank you to Gary Fletcher and the lads at Season Master. They are sponsoring the podcast for another season. So thanks to them. If you want any bifold doors or any secondary glazing, give them a ring or hit them up on their website and they'll be able to get back to you. But I welcome Danny Baker. How are we, Danny? Good summer?
Oh, I'm absolutely terrific, mate. I'm absolutely terrific. Sun is shining, cricket season, the Ashes has been brilliant, a little bit of controversy, but that's been all right. I don't mind that.
I wanted to speak to you about that, right? All right, regarding, yeah, because I'm not, you know me, I'm not overly big county.
But you have kept wicket in your
I love
in the batting, etc.
No, but we've spoken about this before. I love the Ryder Cup, but I don't like golf. Love yes. The Ryder Cup. I love the Ashes. I love it because it's the Australia. And I thought this Ashes, it started all the spirit of cricket's been bandied around quite a lot. And it was all nice, weren't it? They're all shaking hands and talk because obviously they play IPL together and they play in England.
Yeah, they all know each other,
They all know each other. And so, but it's always been a bit edgy with them because Glenn McGrath used to make we're going to smash a 5-0.
Every single Ashes without fail, yeah.
Yeah, before. And everyone used to get riled up and, do you know what I mean? And I didn't like the fact that it was at Lords, even though it's the home of cricket, because it's so boring. You're not allowed to, the Barmy Army ain't allowed in there, really, are they? You're not allowed to sing. You're not allowed to stand and shout. And it all got a bit edgy, obviously, with Bairstow. What was your thoughts on the Bairstow dismissal? As a cricket man.
As a cricket huge fan, what Carey did, there was absolutely nothing wrong with it. From a legal perspective, from the laws of cricket, he's perfectly entitled to it. It was out. There's one school of thought, which, if I wake up on the right side of the bed, is Bairstow, you're numpty. Just do what everyone else does, which is wait till the end of the over. But there's the other side half of me, which really gets annoyed with the Aussies at the Ashes. And I'm like, it's just a cop-out. It's a proper cop-out. He's right. I understand why he's done it. There's the informal thing that when you bat, and I bat for ages, so I'm used to doing this loads. But in general, when you bat, you normally sort of tap your foot inside the crease. And it kind of means like in rounders. Now, the fielders don't have to respect that, but it's kind of the unknown, like, nod your shoulder type thing and nod your head and go, okay, fine. So I'm a bit annoyed about it.
And like in football, you play to the whistle and the umpire didn't shout over.
But this is the thing. If you watch it, go on.
All that over, he kept coming out of his crease.
He did, right? But this is the thing that people don't often see. And obviously me as a lad and a cricket geek, I know. You watch the square leg umpire. He ain't watching. And the reason why he's not watching is he puts the stone in his hand and he starts taking a couple of steps towards the batsman. If he takes a couple of steps towards the batsman, that should be the end of the over. And what's happened is the ball has been hit. Someone hasn't said over, but the square leg umpire thinks it is over. But because he hasn't said it, they've gone to the third umpire and they've given it.
I agree. And I think the other umpire as well, he put something in his pocket and he looked down. He wasn't even looking at the stumps when it was hit. I get it. I just think I was screwing at the time because obviously I think the Aussies. But then there's videos of Bairstow trying to catch
Labuschagne.
Do the same. But as people said with regards to cricket, is that Bairstow wasn't trying to gain advantage like Labuschagne was trying to get maybe a run, a cheeky run. He was trying to gain advantage where Bairstow wasn't. My problem with it is, you know me, I love shithousery. So when you look at it and think, well, actually, fair play to the Aussies, they've got it. Because if he hasn't gone there, we might have won that test.
Let's be honest, right? If it's the other way around, we are not winning that test because we're not going to do that, or we're not going to take the appeal through. We wouldn't do that.
My main problem with it is the Aussies, they're the Liverpool of cricket. Do you know what I mean?
Wow. That is a huge statement.
Well,
they're nicking everything around, smashing all the windows in. That's what's
happening. No, right? They're always the victims, never their fault kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
same as the Aussies. Like Smith is now portraying like he's the spirit of cricket, even though he got done for cheating, lied about it, cried about it. Do you know what I mean? And then comes in and tries to be like the big man all the time. I hate that geezer. I hate Labuschagne. Do you know what I mean? I hate the Aussies pretty much when you're playing sport against them. Really nice when you meet them in the walkabout pubs and stuff. But
yeah,
you know
sticky mean? Floor in Wimbledon. But, to be honest with you, it's just that when you play at that highest level, it is just about winning. And cricket has kind of held this sort of spirit of cricket. And I coach kids, as you know. I do a lot of that. And the spirit of cricket, I teach with the spirit of cricket in mind. I'm teaching the kids to be respectful. If you nick it, go, blah, 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 blah. But at the top end of cricket, to win or lose, it is a lot more cutthroat. And it's so much harder to play within that boundary.
But I also
love how the Aussies are getting upset about these 80-year-old blokes in Zimmer frames calling them prats.
Spirit of cricket only works when it's for you, because England have done. Stuart Broad never walked a couple of years ago.
Of course, exactly the case.
The one that got me was the Stark one, where I'm watching that and thinking, well, he's not out because you rubbed the ball across the pitch, mate. And then they're claiming, oh, he was under control. Well, you're not under control because your body, you've dropped the ball pretty much because you've got your hand. Like, I've always thought that weren't out.
I think the Aussies
literally appeal for everything.
Yeah,
if it could hit him in the chest, and they're appealing LBW and stuff, it's really annoying.
I think it's what is good is that we're talking about cricket, and I think that's the thing that people can get the ump, not get the ump, agree with a decision, not. You're someone who doesn't overly, you're not bothered about cricket, but you're talking about cricket. It's created conversation, and I tell you what, it's now created energy going into tomorrow, which is.
And the Yorkshire test is going to be proper. If they thought,
oh mate, they are going to get. I've been up there last year.
They thought Lords was rough. Wait till they go to.
You wait to Yorkshire. You know, Jim from Sheffield with his four
and
mates.
I'd say wait till just probably after lunch when they've started the beer
got
train.
You've got the Western Terrace,
yeah,
which is on the left of like where we were last year, and that is lively as hell.
Well, they do the beer train, don't they?
They do the beer train. That's the one where Stokes got the big 100 and we won. And we've obviously made a few changes, so it's exciting times.
You know what I mean? And that's what annoyed me as well. Warner getting upset about a few 70-year-old men who probably said something like,
"They did
cheat."
I don't know if he is a cheat.
Do you know what I mean? They're talking facts, but yeah, you know I mean,
there was three. I'm going to try and find it. Someone, and I might be completely wrong. Right, the three MCC guests who were banned, their names were unreal, like the most MCC people that you can ever imagine. Like their names, they are incredible. If I can find them, all double barreled, all like incredible, their names. If I find them, I saw them like leaked the other day. It was exceptional how posh those three guys were. It was like Gryffindor, Smythe, McBurney. It was just so, honestly, it was sensational. If I find them, I have to send them during the pass. But yeah, no, but the cricket's been good. Work's been good.
Sorry to anyone who's come on here thinking this is the Wimbledon had a dream. One was at a dream podcast talking about Wimbledon. It ain't cricket info and stuff like that.
So do we? We're in the new season, Lee. How are you feeling? Are we put to bed the ghost of seasons past, or is there still a hangover?
For me, there's still a hangover. I'm not. I will be going to a few games. We'll talk about that later. But for me, the love for Wimbledon still isn't 100% at the moment. There's still a few things that rile me up with the club. I still the football club for me has become more of a political party than a football club sometimes. And I'm still, I think some people say we've got to put to bed what happened last season. But then we said that the season before and it's gone on. I do like some of the things that the club are doing. I don't know if it's solely Chris fault, but some of the content they're putting out with the interview at his house.
I haven't seen that. Was that, and I didn't see the one where they mic'd him up in training. Was it good?
I think the content that the fans want to see. I really do. I think it's better than I'm not a big fan. I said it was quite cringy with the players ringing up fans saying, well done for buying season tickets. And then my missus said, oh, that's a sweet thing. That's a really nice thing to do. You know what I mean? I'm very cynical and very,
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A player rings, I don't want a player ringing me, but then that's just who I am. Some people love it. Do you know what I mean? But the interview with Johnny Jackson in his house, I thought, was really good. It was showed him as his personality a little bit more, which is what a lot of people said. He's got a really good personality, but no one's really seen it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That was good. That was proper. It was more professional kind of interviewing kind of stuff, and at his house, and quite relaxed. And then the mic'd up stuff. Yeah, Jackson needs work on his fitness because
is he struggling with it?
It's quite funny because he put a mic on, he's trying to join in, and then he's literally breathing like I would if I played 5 minutes.
And where are you at with the whole Jackson stuff? I know it's a new season. Do you know what? It's a new start. We're going to give him time. We're just going to see where he go, or where are we sitting with him?
It's a tough one because I think, as I said, I think the interviews and stuff they've done have really, for me, elevated him again. But you know what I'm like. I said this on a Twitter space that we did a few weeks ago, is we lose to Grimsby, we lose to Wrexham, and then we lose to Sutton. I'm
you're
definitely
in trouble, aren't you?
And, but I do want him to do really well. I really do. And some of the players that they've brought in, do you know what I mean? If it's Jackson, Cope or whatever, they've got to be working as a team.
I'm
looking forward to next season with regards to what's on the pitch. Yeah, I mean, it's off the field stuff that I really don't like, and the politics that goes on with supporting Wimbledon sometimes. But Jackson, I think it's still going to be very hard for him, Danny, to come back from last season.
I really feel for him because whether you're in or out and stuff, and you know, we're trying to be football fans supportive, but mate, that was rough last year, end of last year, and the things that were said and the booing and the chanting and stuff. I'm stuck in two ways. I'm kind of a little bit in disbelief that he's still the manager on the fact of how bad it got. But I'm also quite chuffed and quite proud that some people in the club go, no, he's our man, we're going to back him. And I'm pleased that we're a club that don't necessarily get rid of managers that quickly. But it's a huge ask and it's a huge call for someone to keep him, bearing in mind, unless really we're going to be in the top 10, he's just going to be out there to be shot at. Because ultimately, if we're mid-table, I mean, he'd have had a season of 22nd we came, was it? Or 21st and 10th? I mean, is that...
See, mid-table next season doesn't worry me too much, Daniel, because the fact that we're still trying to get rid of a lot of the dead wood that were put on stupid contracts, we might not be able to get rid of all our dead wood this season. Which the problem I got with the club, and this is what I say, is they need to sometimes stop saying stuff. Like last year, we were going for promotion, we were going for playoffs. Do you know what I mean? Just be realistic with what we're going to do. Like Craig Cope said, there's going to be a massive overhaul and coal was used, which doesn't seem to be the case now because we've got players under contract. I know there's a long way to go before we play our first game on 5th of August and we might be able to shift some players still. But do you know what I mean? Just stop using words that when you can't actually follow through with them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Be realistic with what the fans want and see. And I think if we finish mid-table, this league is going to be very tough next year. There's a lot of teams doing good business. We look at our business and think, yeah, we're doing well. Do you know what I mean? Wrexham ain't even signed a player yet. So I don't know what they're going to be doing. I think they're actually going to struggle next year, Wrexham. I don't think they're going to do as well as people think
I think they're going to absolutely walk it.
Do you? No, I don't. I think
not. Again, I just feel like they've done a lot of business that they've already got. They're going to come up. I think they'll strengthen when they need to strengthen. Mm. I think Salford are interesting as well. They just got Osama Ashley, didn't they? Obviously from Colchester.
Yeah, not good though, man.
But so in terms of the players then, 12 out, Frimpong, Cosgrave, Chislett, Robinson, Dunter, Marsh, Jenkins, Fisher, Ajay Hersey, Bolton, Pierre. That's 11, sorry. I guess the younger lads were probably relatively clear cut, from my understanding.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Like people were saying about Jenkins and saying we should have maybe kept him as someone to keep around. Someone said about there was a
keeper. The boy that scored at Rochdale, yeah?
Yes. And there was the keeper who's just signed for Forest. And I think you messaged
Griffith,
me saying, how are we losing youth players? And then they go and play for Forest. The reason why people like that leave is that, say they're on about 300 quid a week. They're not on loads of money with Wimbledon. But for us, that probably is enough to say we could get rid of four players on 300 quid a week. And then we sign our three youngsters, Morgan Williams, Sasu and Paris Locke. They're going to be closer to getting in the first team than, say, Harry Griffiths.
Yeah.
We probably won't ever get near our first team. Probably Spike Britz was before him and now he's gone to Man City. Do you know what I mean? We've got a fee for him. And the thing is, people like Forrest can get 500 youth team players, pay them 300 quid a week and it ain't even going to touch the sides. Do you know what I mean? And then they're going to hope that 10 of them maybe make it or go on to do other stuff. Jenkins, the other one, everyone said we shouldn't have got rid of him. We should have. I only see him at Rochdale. He's got a good goal. Don't know if he was that good. The fact that he's now, him and Ashiershi are training, are on trial at Chelmsford. Says
are they
to
really?
Me, yeah, says to
oh,
me
I didn't
that,
know that.
Says to me the level that they are, do you know what I mean? Which is great. Conference South is a good level to go play football. Good luck to you boys. Go and start again. Try and work your way back up. But for us, we need players who are going to step into League Two next year. And the ones that we've bought in are head and shoulders above Jenkins, unfortunately. Do you know what I mean? So we can't keep carrying players just because they're homegrown and we want them to do well. They really need to step in. They really need to be Asals. Do you know what I mean? When Asal come in, it was like, I'm here. I'm going to be a first-team footballer for AFC Wimbledon. I'm going to move on as soon as I get the deal, which he did. Do you know what I mean? And that's what we need nowadays. We can't carry players. And we need first team footballers who are going to come in and do a job at League Two. It's a tough level, man. Tough level. What's your thoughts?
Where did George Marsh end up?
He hasn't signed for anyone. I've kept an eye on that because I thought he might have gone to a Colchester, somewhere like that. I know that there's plenty of time left in the transfer window. I don't think it closes till what, the end of August. But someone like George Marsh, the problem is with George Marsh is he got released by us as our highest paid player on 3.5 grand a week. He's going to have to take a step down, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? A lot of footballers are out there now. Do you know what I mean? That's why I'm very impressed with what Cope has done with the fact that we've signed three Northern players.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where people before said you can't sign Northern players, they won't move to Wimbledon. Well, they will if there's okay money involved. Do you know what I mean? 100 grand a year, you're going to live comfortably on the outskirts of Wimbledon. Do you know what I mean? You're not going to be poor. You can probably live... If you haven't got a missus or even if you have got a young missus and stuff, she might work in London, might get a job in London.
Remember as well, Lee, like where the training ground is, you're not a million miles away from the A3. So you can drive half an hour south from the A3. And if you can get to, you know, anyone getting to work within 45 minutes, you can end up, you're not far away. You can get halfway to Portsmouth and you're not going to pay a fortune.
That's what I mean. When people say, oh, Wimbledon's really expensive. It is, but you ain't asking people to go live in the village.
No.
Do you know what I mean? You're asking people...
not next to the tennis, are you?
You're asking people to, say, live in Redhill or... Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Live in Kent or live in Essex and travel around. Do you know what I mean? You know, and on 100 grand a year, I think you're probably doing all right as a footballer on that. And I think nowadays there's a lot of footballers who are out of work who think, actually, do you know what I mean? Wimbledon's probably a good club paying me 2.5 grand a week. I'll take that all day long, so...
I mean, what I was interested with is, obviously, I'm looking at the list now and... Pierre was interesting because I probably would have kept him, but I didn't know anything about the guys we've bought. And now we've got a couple of decent defenders in. I kind of feel that's probably the right move for him and for us. I don't know if he's linked anywhere, but it's been relatively recent. Chislett, obviously, going to Port Vale probably is about right. Lower end League One. Is he going to rip it up? I'm not convinced. I'm with you on it in terms of, I thought I definitely rated him higher than you did, but I still don't think he's really going to rip up League One. I think he's kind of, in my opinion, I think he's a squad player League One or he starts in League Two, which is what he was with us. So I don't necessarily, I thought he might end up maybe somewhere possibly better than Port Vale, but he'll do, they've actually bought a few players in, so I'm not too distressed about Chislett. The rest of them, I mean, the only thing, obviously, and I've got to speak about it, is Zach Robinson, because I don't know the full ins and outs of the story. I would have thought, even with the players that have come in, he would have a role to play with us. If we weren't going to have him, we definitely should have sold him and got him off the books. But there must be a reason why. But maybe you can tell me more.
But yeah, we'll go back to Pierre in first, and then we'll come on. I'll come on to Zach after. But with Pierre, I think we offered him a deal. I'm not 100% on that, so please.
Who, Pierre or
Pierre? But okay. we did offer Manny Monte a deal from Walsall, and that was pretty much going to be a done deal, I think. And then obviously, once the window opens and his agent gets involved, I think he's gone and took more money somewhere else. I'm not overly unhappy about that either, because I didn't think he was that good for Walsall. Pierre, I'm not overly unhappy with. I thought he was very unfit. The only reason you sign him is if you give him pre-season and he comes in. But the two lads we signed, they both played for Stockport last year. I don't know the amount of games they played, but they definitely played 10 or 15, 20 games for a good Stockport County team. Do you know what I mean? I think they're better than what we've had previously, other than Towler. Do you know what I mean? You take Towler out of the mix, I think they're two better centre-backs. The only worry I've got now is we've got, what, five centre-backs in Will, PK, Johnson, Lewis and Pierce. Not bad five centre-backs, because you know two
I'm
of them.
I'm actually thinking about Brown, who could play there.
We'll go on to Brown later on, because I'm hoping Brown won't be here by the start of the season, but I think he will be. With Zach Robinson, everyone keeps saying, why have we... He obviously didn't want to be here. I don't think Jacko and Terry wanted him to be here either. I don't think they liked his attitude or something behind. Something's happened behind the scenes, because we shifted him after signing a two-year deal straight away. Got him back, shifted him straight away in January, which, you know what I mean, says that they don't want him around the place, and then we've shifted him again now. People keep saying, why didn't we sell him? Well, it's like you putting your house up for sale, Danny, and no one putting a bid in. Do you know what I mean? No one wanting to buy your house. What are you going to do? You can't just go, well, I'm going to sell it. Well, no one wants to buy it. So then you look at loan markets. You look at maybe renting it instead. Do you know what I mean? I think that's what we've done. I think we've got an offer from Dundee. They've paid us a loan fee. We've received that. We've also, I'm guessing on this, I'm 100% true on the loan fee. We've got that. I'm guessing that they're paying his full wages. Because
I would guess so. It'd be mad not to.
Yeah, I think it's bad business if we haven't gone, you're paying his full wages. So I'm guessing they're paying his full wages. And we've got another striker lined up to come in that we want. And we've got rid of someone that we don't want and someone that don't want to be here.
Do you think there's anything about the fact that he's 21 and that if he runs out of contract, we get a little payout? Well, there's something in that.
Yeah, and also at the end of the season, we can offer him a new deal still. So we can say, we're going to offer you a new one-year contract on £100 a week. He'll turn us down, and then whoever he signs for has to pass a fee.
Okay. So when, also, when you put it that way, that's actually not particularly bad business.
And also, now he goes to Dundee. He's playing in the Scottish Premier League, so he's probably going to get a little bit more... What's the word? Exposure, because he'll be playing against Celtic, he'll be playing against Rangers. Do you know what I mean? He'll be playing on Sky Sports, possibly. Do you know what I mean? So he'll get a bit more exposure. If he goes up there and scores goals, it works out for him. Dundee might then go, right, we've got to buy this kid. If not, someone in January might go, I don't know if there's a break clause in it at all. I'm just guessing here again. You have to say this because people will jump in your DMs otherwise saying, you told us this. But I'm guessing that we could, you know, like it's happened to us on numerous occasions, we've had a striker come January, look at Taylor.
Yeah.
Gone back, sold someone else. And I think we probably could do that. And we've got a loan fee out of it. His wages are being covered and we'll possibly get a fee at the end of the season. So, yeah, I think for all parties, us, him and Dundee, it's probably a win-win situation.
I mean, yeah, I guess that the way that you dressed it up makes a lot of sense. It's sort of, I guess for me, from now until the end of the season, I'm obviously looking at RRI. I'm on Transfermarkt. I've got them both on the departures and the arrivals. For me, the fascinating thing now for me isn't really about who comes in. It's who else is going to go. There's obviously, in my opinion, there's at least two players, maybe one or two more, but there's definitely two players that I've got question marks on as to whether they're going to be around, whether we want them around, whether they want to be around, or whether they're kind of the last stain on our kind of relegation. We move on, which obviously one was Brown, one was Woodyard, and for me, the other one is Zanev. So I think those three, I think Woodyard and Brown are in slightly different camps to Zanev. For me, they are anyway. I still would have Zanev, to be honest. If we're just looking to be mid-table, I'm having Zanev and I'm not worrying about another keeper. I'll have him, he can do that. We're not going to get promoted with Zanev, but I don't think we're going to get relegated with him either. I guess the question for me is, Woodyard and Brown are two players who are quite, in my opinion, would be quite big personalities. They're two players who probably would shape the culture, you'd think, or they'd be the two people you kind of feel like, look, lead us, take us forward. And I just feel like for them too, their races are run a little bit. I don't have any negative personal thoughts about either of them, but I just feel maybe for best for us and for them, maybe they go and get another gig somewhere and maybe we use that money elsewhere. But what I don't know where you sit with that.
No, come on, sir. One player I forgot to mention a minute ago, which you said it was Ethan Chislett gone up Paul Vau. I thought he was going to get a bigger move than that because he was prime Lionel Messi to his family and to some of our fans. He wasn't a big fan of the podcast because someone...
Why do you think that, though? Why did you think there was such a... He was one of the few players that genuinely loads of people had a massively, massively varied view on. Like, I know we speak about the dad and all the messages, but I thought he was decent, but not brilliant. But with so many guys who thought he was unbelievable, people like you who just didn't rate him. Why do you think... What was it about him that polarised... / encourage so many, do you think?
It's a weird one, yeah, because like he'll score a goal out enough. Colchester was brilliant. The goal at Crawley was unreal. I just don't think he'd done it enough. You could see in them split seconds that he had it. He just didn't do it all the time for me. And he might have worked hard and stuff, but he was should have been a goal scoring midfielder. I know he scored 8 last year, which is quite good. I think he was our top scorer in them, wasn't he? That was Ali, top scorer from midfield. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, we weren't bad. I didn't like his dad's comments and having a go at Asau and stuff. Do you know what I mean? That's your son's teammate. You're making your son look bad for me. And I didn't really like that kind of stuff. And do you know what I mean? That probably why it kind of annoyed me with him. But he wasn't a big fan of ours, Ethan Chislett. He blocked us from Twitter. Well, I didn't even know that until someone tagged him the other day and something to say he's off when he wrote his little goodbye speech. And yeah, he blocked us.
So, did he?
Yeah, I don't know why, but... But yeah, good luck to him. I hope he goes well at Port Vale. I thought he was getting a massive move to Portsmouth or something, but he's gone to the lower end of League One. But yeah, he's escaping the lower end of League Two at the end of the day, isn't he? So fair play to him. He's going up the level.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I would have thought he was on one of the lower wages. I reckon he's probably at an age, I don't really know quite how old he is. I'm sure I'll find out in a minute. But he's probably at an age where he's thinking, do you know what, I want to kick on, you know, I know he's South African, what is he, 24? The reality of it is he's probably got two good moves. If he has this decent move and he plays all right for Port Vale, there's a decent possibility he may jump up a league if he's lucky. I mean, we spoke about Neston not being any good. He played a year of championship. So I'm not overly, Ethan Chislett, I'm not devastated about losing because I think there's plenty of other guys who fit in. The players obviously liked him. Where are you sitting with Woodyard, mate? Woodyard and Brown.
So I had a conversation with one of my mates regarding Woodyard. He thinks Woodyard's going to be okay. He was playing with injury last year. I'm still not having him. I said our standards with some fans have dropped so low nowadays that I don't get how we're liking all these players that have. He was our captain for the last couple of years, and we've got relegated and won no games in 27. And then last year, we finished fourth from bottom in the lowest tier in Football League. Do you know what I mean? And from January onwards, we were awful. We lost to Sutton. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was no fight in a lot of our games last year. And I thought, you're the club captain. Do you know what I mean? Like, come on. It's just his body language in a few of the games. You know, that time when he got subbed off. Do you know what I mean? I just don't think, I don't know if I want him to be here. I know a lot of people think he's... They don't want him to be. I thought he was the worst captain we've ever had. It's a weird one for me because if you look at the photos, and again, we might be reading a little bit more too much into this, and they might have just been swapping shirts and stuff. But looks like Jake Reeves has been given the number 4 shirt, which was Woodyard's. And Woodyard I haven't seen a shirt with him having a number on it. So that's very strange. But again, that could just be the fact that Reeves picked up the wrong shirts that day or something, and they're in photos.
I mean, are we naive to kind of... I feel a little bit guilty on the fact that maybe we just dump all of our issues on Woodyard as captain and go, right, do you know what? You were captain. I don't think he's a bad football player. I just feel like... And again, he's younger than I thought. I thought he'd be in like 32, 33. He's only 30. So I just wonder for him whether he's got one more move, in my opinion, a big move, if he's good enough. Is he? He's nowhere near League One, though, is he? I mean, he's not going to go up a league, is he?
For me, he's not near League Two. We found that out last year, Danny. He was running around like a headless chicken in some of the games. And this is before he Foley was injured. I'm not having him at all. I haven't had him since he walked through the door. There's been something wrong with the club and the players for 2 years now. It ain't just been, people put it at Johnny Jackson's door. People put it that it was our transfer committee before that. But he was our captain and has been here for a couple of years. And you think of stuff that's happened off the scenes with the end of season do, and stuff like that. You're the club captain. That shouldn't be happening no matter who you are. Players shouldn't be coming in late, drunk. God, I don't know what goes on at the training ground. Before last season, we've got the stuff with Jackson now, he's mic'd up and you see it. But you should not have that as a club captain. Lee Brown, he's another one. I think he walked through the door with a move that suits him more than it suited us at the time. He's closer to home.
He's been really disappointing.
He's got his building company that he's making good money from. Yeah, he's got a building company. They do luxury houses or something. That's something with regards to that.
Oh, fair play, Jim.
Fair play. Anyone who has a business outside football, unless it's Herbalife, I kind of can get on board with.
I know exactly what you mean.
I hated that when players were punting Herbalife when they used to play
football. There was a bloke, Henderson, from Rochdale at the time. Oh. He used to go mental for
it. I loved him, Cal Kennedy, but he was another one who was punting Herbalife left, right and centre. But now, fair play. He's got a proper business that when he retires, he's got something to fall back on and probably making him decent money. I just think that move suited him more than it suited us at the moment. He said one swear word on an interview once and everyone wanted to make him manager, which was nuts at the time. But I've been really disappointed with him. And again, he was one of the ones who played up at the Christmas party, was drunk, was rude to people. And I just think you don't disrespect your professional footballer.
First game of the season, August, what is it, a month today, is Lee Brown and Alex Woodyard in our football club? Are they in the squad? Not in the match day squad.
I think Alex Woodyard would be in the squad. I don't think he starts. Depends on who we sign still. We've still got Winder left. He's in possibly in the squad. Lee Brown's nowhere near it for me at the moment. I got told by someone, and again, this is just what I've got told, is that we told some players to stay away that we didn't want. I just don't see how they go anywhere at the moment. They're under contract. Then why would they go anywhere with a year to go? My problem is as well, though, is that we've taken them to Spain. To go, you're training with the team. You're part of this. Now, this is a team bonding for next season to get the boys closer.
In Linekers, aren't they?
No, but
fish bowls.
Has anything been learned from the end of season do when they all got smashed? And maybe tomorrow Friday when they do the players go out and meet the fans and that, they don't get smashed on Friday because they know they've got Reading on Saturday, but you never know of a couple of them. That's why I'm really, really disappointed with Nick Zanev, and I'd like him to go. Nick Zanev was apparently one of the ones as well who was drunk, being quite disrespectful, and I think that's because he thought a move was on the cards in the summer. So right. Blackburn were after him. I think he knew that. That was a move that he was hoping to get and becoming a number two in the Championship. They then said, no, we're not going to follow through on that. And then he thought, fuck, I'm stuck here now. I'm stuck at Wimbledon.
So where does he go now, do you think?
Something that really annoys me, right? And I know it probably don't annoy you as much and it don't annoy a lot of people.
No.
But it's liking Milton Keynes stuff on Instagram.
Yeah, that would annoy... It doesn't overly bother me, but that would annoy you.
But Henry Lawrence has been released, hasn't he, by Chelsea? But he was on loan last year at the Scum.
Oh, has he been released by Chelsea, is he?
Yeah, good. And he put a picture up of him playing for Scum, saying, and then Nick Zanev is like, I just think, what are you doing, mate? Like, and I know some people say, look, get over it, but it just really annoys me. It's just disrespectful to the women that you're playing for. Do you know what I mean? So
I can understand it. I mean, I'm not bothered about him. I'm just interested with Zanev. So same questions I had with about Woodyard and that. First game of the season, is he around, Zanev?
Because
I would have thought he'd have gone.
Nathan Broome's probably a lovely guy, lovely fella. I just don't think he's good enough.
Yeah.
Because you've been here, what now, a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah.
You haven't forced Zanev out of being number one spot, only when Zanev was injured last year, which I don't think was a proper injury. I think that was him thinking he was getting a move in the summer. But yeah, Zanev was injured. So Broome come in, didn't really show anything that you think, that would be our first choice goalkeeper next year. So a year and a half, you haven't shown anything, then unfortunately you're not good enough to be a Wimbledon goalkeeper. Nick Zanev Maybe I'd keep him as a reserve cover. I'd keep him as our number two, but I think we need to be looking at bringing a new keeper in. I understand we're looking at the loan market to bring a goalkeeper in as well. So
yeah,
we'll be
because I think that's going to happen.
It's worked previously. I know we were after. I think we were after James Shea.
Really?
But I think he. Yeah, I think he.
I saw the links of Jamal Blackman, but he's gone.
Yeah,
he went to
some
Exeter,
of them were
maybe?
Just too much money. No, he was released by Exeter.
Whereas he's definitely playing. He's been signed by someone.
But yeah, I think we're going to. It's worked for us previously. You look at Kelly Roos. You look at players like that. Obviously, Rambo's the big one, but Rambo could have gone on loan to anyone.
Who's the guy who's at Millwall now? Brilliant goalkeeper.
I don't know.
When we started in League One, he played and he went to Hull. He'll come to me. Honestly,
Burton Albion, Jamal Blackman's gone to.
Oh, okay. The other guy, he's the Millwall number one now.
I'm not sure. But yeah, I just think we're going to look at the loan market. I think that'll save us money in the long run. And if Nick wants
George
to stay,
Long.
George Long, yeah, I love
and
George.
And Conall Truman is there as well, by the way, Millwall.
George Long was brilliant. But the one that's really shocked me and done really well since he left us, where I thought he was just going to bomb out of football in the end because he let that lob in. You remember, what's his name? The one that ended up at Coventry. You know the one that went on
Scotland?
Oh, Scotland,
yeah, Watson.
The one,
not Ben, is it Ben Watson?
Ben Watson, it might be Ben Watson. Yeah, the one who said, you pay my wages, and everyone got the
And the goalkeeper, and we all got the write-up with him.
And he was,
is it Ben Watson?
Yeah,
exactly what you mean. I've got mad with our names here.
George Long was brilliant. Have I told you a story about George Long?
No.
So Jack was a goalkeeper. My boy Jack was a keeper, and he was playing for Wimbledon Academy and stuff. And I said, Ben Wilson. So I messaged George Long the year we stayed up, and he went back to. He was on loan from Sheffield United, I think, and he ended up signing for Hull. So yep. I just messaged him out of the blue and said, look, thanks for last season. My son met him at the end, got an autograph. I said, look, my boy's a goalkeeper. I think you're brilliant. Thanks for helping us stay up. Good luck in your career. So he messaged me back and said, oh, what's your son's name? What's your address? I'll sort him out, saying. I get, through the post, I get two gloves. His hands are massive, by the way. Pair of gloves signed by George Long to Jack. Keep up the good work. Keep up being a keeper, George Long. And a handwritten letter. To Jack saying, look, thanks very much.
Oh, amazing.
Really means, yeah, George Long, brilliant lad. Yeah, my son.
I mean, how easy is that as well? I mean, like I said, it'll take 5 or 10 minutes, but.
Mate, mental well to it. He's got it still. The glove's still, you know, a little frame in his room, letters, yeah, with him. Do you know what I mean? It meant a lot to him. And as I said, George Long was, he was a keeper at the time. He's not a keeper anymore. But yeah, he broke his arm recently, my boy, as well.
Oh, bless him. Was he in goal?
No, he went to control the ball. You know when you go control the ball and you slip on it? You know when you slip right underneath it?
I never do. I just control it and put it in top bins.
Don't even need to control it because I'm one-touch football, mate.
I've always said that.
Do you know what I mean? He went to control it, slipped, landed on his arm, broke it in two places.
Oh, my God. Well, we've spoken about the guys who have come out. And I think I don't feel particularly like there's a huge shocks or anything. In terms of coming in, there's been some really interesting movement. And obviously, Wimbledon love to start there. We started with Jake Reeves, obviously. Wimbledon fans absolutely love an old boy coming back. They're talking about Piggott already, but he's been released by Ipswich. They're talking about him coming back and this nonsense. Obviously, the Lyle Taylor, is he ever going to finish the career at Wimbledon conversation continues to roll. Jake Reeves coming back has been really interesting. Wimbledon, obviously, we normally go and do a big signing. We all get excited and then we start coming down to earth, which has happened. Jake Reeves, though, does seem like, from my understanding, if he's anywhere near the player that we had at the right time, thinking about Woodyard, thinking about that, that seems like a massive like for.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Like, but that, Danny, if he's anything like the player he was last season for Stevenage, then we've got one of the best players in League Two last year.
But why would he be released then by Stevenage?
He wasn't released. They wanted him to sign another contract. I don't think he liked the travelling. There's also a manager up there that not a lot of players really get along with. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what he's like behind the scenes, but when you speak to some players, he's annoying, but
you go up, don't you, with him?
Yeah, and he wins games. I don't know if he gets glowing reports from people, but you win games. And I think Jake Reeves is a not local lad, but he's, like we were talking earlier, he's probably closer to us than he is Stevenage. And you've got to go up to Stevenage every weekend. Do you know what I mean? It can be a little bit for you. I know he moved up to Bradford, but I think he's now back down near us. Yeah, they wanted to sign him for next year. Now, he probably thinks I can get another promotion.
He's the same age as Woodyard, which is interesting. But I think he'll probably come to us a bit fresher. And I feel like it's a good, it's an easy fan favourite kind of signing, if that makes sense. I saw it, and I'm really big on not going back to players who we used to have and stuff, because I kind of feel there's hundreds, but he looks like a genuine player.
Dan, I'm not one of these people that go, but like everyone keeps, as you said, Piggott, Lyle Taylor. I wouldn't have both of them back now. One, I wouldn't have Piggott back now because he hasn't played in about two seasons. He even went on loan at Portsmouth. I don't think he played a lot of games at Portsmouth. We went on loan there. Do you know what I mean? So he hasn't Colby played Bishop a lot. Lyle Taylor has not played a lot of games now. He's older. He'll be slower. He hasn't played a lot of games. A lot of people want the player when they left. So we want Lyle Taylor when he scored the goal against Milton Keynes. We want that Lyle Taylor. We want the one that scored against Wembley. You're not going to get that one back, unfortunately. With Jake Reeves, I think we will get a better Jake Reeves than when he played for us.
Do you really?
Hmm.
Wow, that's a bit cool.
No,
if we have, he's
gone and played for bigger and better club. Not Stevie Jones,
but he has. His injury record has been pretty lively, though.
He's
been
bad injury at Bradford. The rest, look at where he played. I said this to someone. I said my worry is his injury record. He played like 46 games last year. He played 33 the year before. Look at where he's played. He's played game. You've got to just remember that he had one bad season at Bradford where he got injured.
But last year he played 47 games.
Yeah, that's better than Woodyard.
Yeah, there's no argument about that. And I think that's...
We're getting a better player in Jake Reeves now than when he left us. And that's the difference with getting players. Like you said a minute ago, George Long. I'd take George Long back as Wimbledon number one tomorrow because we're getting a better George Long than when we had him. It's like Aaron Ramsdale. Say Aaron Ramsdale become available tomorrow. We take Aaron Ramsdale back tomorrow because he's a better Aaron Ramsdale than when he played for us.
Yeah, okay.
And that's what we've got to look at. People keep looking at the old players and the old boys and go, we've got to get them back. Only if they're better or near that player when they left, which a lot of them don't have that.
Of the players that we've signed, right, and obviously I'm excluding, by the way, the three young lads, Jake Reeves seems to be the one guy from all of the players that we've signed in pre-season that is an absolute shoe-in starter. You've obviously got the two guys from Stockport, right? Yes. Ryan Johnson and you've got Joe Lewis. Interesting that we're loaning from within the division, which is quite unusual. But they both seem quite highly rated. And it looks like with those players, those two, like you said, Nightingale, PK, Pierce, that's five centre-backs. So I kind of feel like with them, they're done. But they kind of also fit. We wanted tall, strong, physical centre-backs. And they've kind of fit the bill for me. But I don't know. I spoke to
a Stockport fan who does a Stockport podcast, and he said to Joe Lewis, he's young, he's quick, he's strong, but he does have a few mistakes in him. And I think, and he signed a contract with Stockport after they sent him on loan to us. So they want to keep him. And that's someone that is looking to go for automatic promotion this year at Stockport. Do you know what I mean? And they obviously know that I don't know if we're going for, as I said, I'll be having my table, but some of our players will say we're going for the playoffs and some of our fans will look at that. But they obviously think that we could be doing better next year than we did last year. And they've got a player who's going to come down and possibly take points off their rivals.
What do they say about Johnson?
Johnson, I've just got to bring it up because we signed him quite a little while ago. I think
When Reeves, Newville, Bugiel, and then it went all the other ones. But yeah, go on, Johnson.
Johnson, again, he's strong, big, he can play with his feet, but unfortunately, I think my worry with Johnson is his injury record.
Well, I reckon he's almost a straight swap for a peer.
Yeah, yeah, and they're both big geezer. We wanted that. I'm happy. My worry, Danny, is we do this every transfer window. We've done it in January. We've done it last season. We get really excited about these new players coming in. And then within 6 months, we all think they're pricks and we want them to leave our club and they've got 2 years left on their deals. Do you know what I mean? That's what worries me.
I mean,
I take them now with a pinch of salt and hope. The one I'm really excited about is Neuville and McLean.
Okay. Because they're the two wingers, aren't they?
Two wingers, because I think they've both got something to prove for different reasons.
Yeah.
So McLean's coming from non-league. He's come from Newcastle.
He's Hereford, isn't he?
Newcastle, Midlands, Newcastle. Newcastle upon Lyon, under Lyon or something like that.
Okay. I know we got him.
So he went from proper non-league to Hereford. Done okay at Hereford. Some Hereford fans said, oh, no, he's no good and all this. But others say he's really... Apparently, he's really, really quick. And yeah, I think that we've always said we needed to find gems in non-league who are going to come, rip it up, and then we go, right, you've done well. You're off to the championship now for a good few million for us. Do you know what I mean? Might not happen. He might end up back in non-league in a couple of years. But I like the fact that we're taking... It's a better level than when we signed the Crow as well. Yeah. So, do you know what I mean? There's something there. And Neuville excites me because he's coming from Luton, who have done very well over the years, and probably that's why he's probably been released by them, because their rise has been so quick. And I think he has something to prove. He's done really well at Sutton.
He was good till he got injured, didn't he, apparently?
You know what I mean? And he's played with Bugle before. Bugle's another one I think people need to get away from his goal record.
Yeah,
he's not going to be a striker. And it sounds mad when you say it. He's not going to be a striker who scores your goals.
No.
But he'll be a striker. He'll be a nuisance. He'll cause issues. He won't stop working, which then means our two goal scorers in Ali and Davison will be able to hit the target. And it is exciting, but I just don't like getting excited, because I know within 6 months, me and you will be back on this pod. You'll be loving and I'll be calling them pieces of shit.
I mean, for me, honestly, of all of the transfer windows, this has been the most underwhelming. In terms of, there hasn't been that real, for me, normally you get that, wow, there's like a big marquee signing or a big, this guy is going to be it. Like we had last year, the year before last, we had like Presley and we were like, oh my God, this guy's going to be mental. Last year we had Gunter.
And he was shit.
I know he was, but what I'm saying is from what we normally would have as a football fan, you're thinking, oh my God, we're going to get amazing players. Yeah. Apart from Jake Reeves, I look through the list and they're relatively, from my humble opinion, they're relatively underwhelming. I'm looking and thinking, we're not getting huge amounts of people from teams who are higher than us, but that's okay. The other thing that's interesting, there's only one loan so far. So they've obviously got lots of guys who are committed to a project. Minimum, all of these guys will be in a minimum of 2 years. So if these guys are half decent, they're going to be good. Tilly is the one that I was kind of like, oh man, really? But I've read about Crawley and they reckon that we've got a good player there. And it's obviously clear that this is the first window of of the Craig Cope era. This is before Thorne's scouting. This is Craig Cope going, this is our identity. This is how we want to go about it. So it's good to see we've got players coming in who are highly rated, and we can now officially go, well, this is the players that our head of recruitment is identifying. And he's obviously doing it for a number of reasons. But it's it's an interesting one, because like I said, with Bugle, he'll clearly come in as a backup striker.
No, he will.
He's not going to start, mate, over Al Hamadi and Davison. There's not a chance. We're not going to play three up front.
Not with Pell.
Pell will go in the hole behind the two now.
With what you said about underworld, I'm the opposite with it. I never liked the fact that we had this. I said, oh, Reeves is probably our marquee signing so far this season. And someone said, well, let me know if that's marquee. You know what I mean? It's quite low standard. But as you said before, we've had marquee signings before. None of them have really done anything. The ones who have never been marquee, like Lyle Taylor, when he signed, was not a marquee signing. No one knew anything about him. His record was awful. Become one of our best strikers. Piggott, when he signed, it was underwhelming. We signed him from non-league, become everything that we ever wanted. Do you know what I mean? People were calling for him to come back. I actually like the fact that all these players are kind of under the radar and all have something to prove. They're all going to work hard. And that's what you, in League Two, that's why Stevenage done well last year.
I don't argue with that at all. You know what I mean? You said we had Pearson Gunter last year. Last year, we got Young Coombs. right? We had Davison,
Paris,
Pell, Magoma. We had Hudlin, Pierce, Gunter, Towler, right? They are the preseason.
And Towler was
guns.
Probably the one that everyone was like underwhelmed about and became
our
best player.
And he was unbelievable. But people, like, what I'm saying is that from a strictly paper perspective, forget what your logic, which makes sense, and I understand it. But when you look on a piece of paper and you went over 5 years of our signings, look at the clubs, look at the players. On paper, from what you see, I don't look super excited because I don't know much about McLean. I know nothing about Johnson. I don't know a huge amount about Neuville. And I'm a football fan. I don't know many of these players. But what is interesting is that this is clearly the start of a new DNA of what we're trying to get. And what I'm really, because normally by now, as you know, we've picked up a loan player from a Premier League club. We've done it every single year. We had Magoma. You go back and back and back. You had Presley. You can go back and Oxen and all this nonsense. We haven't even touched that market yet. And it's either a clear, we're moving away from signing backup players from the Premier League, or we've decided, no, we're going to go and we're going to, first things first, we're going to get players who are Wimbledon players, and then we're going to sprinkle the icing on the cake. So it's quite an interesting dynamic.
I think we've looked at League Two last year and looked at the teams that have gone up, Orient, Stevenage. Don't quote me on this because it could be wrong, but I don't think they had loads.
If you say it, I'm quoting it.
I don't think they had loads of Premier League loans. Ipswich, Orient's best player last year was on loan from Ipswich, which at that time was only one league above them. Do you know what I mean? He was a League One player, and then he went to League Two and he was their best player, the little lad, I can't remember his name now, but he was unbelievable for Ipswich. Stevenage didn't have a load of Premier League loans either, though. I think they had League One championships. I think we're looking at, as you said, it's going to be our DNA. I disagree with you regarding Bugle. I think it'd be Bugle, Ali Hamadi could be our starters, or Davison and Ali. I think Ali obviously starts straight away, and then you put someone with him. But that's good for us that Davison and Bugle can interchange and keep coming up. I don't think Pell's going to be playing in that number 10 either. I think Pell's going to have to go some to get into the team as well at the moment, because I have, in my team, I have Tilly just behind.
Pell's captain.
I'm not having Pell captain. I just Pell's think he's shit sometimes. Sometimes he's a little bit off.
So who
I
is then? If you're getting rid of Woodyard then, right?
Reeves.
And you think Reeves is comes in and is captain?
100%. Why would you not?
Definitely not.
Why would you not?
Because it's very rarely does a player just turn up and be captain.
Why?
Straight away.
He knows the club. He's a Wimbledon man.
He's not a Wimbledon man. He's played for Wimbledon.
But that's what
come
I mean.
We're not rowing this early, are we? I'm not falling out of you now.
He's not a Wimbledon man as such. He's come through the ranks and stuff. But
he's not a Wimbledon man. He's played for Wimbledon.
He knew what it was like to get Wimbledon promoted. He's been promoted last year. He's got out of this league twice. So you're not having someone who's been promoted out of this league twice, once with us before, and he's a better player now, and you're not having him as captain.
I'm not having him as captain.
So you're having Pell as captain, who loves the shit out of me.
Yes.
Tends to be elbowed in the face sometimes and get beaten off.
Yes. Because I think he has a big.
I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love Pell for it. And
I'm just saying that whenever we've had Pell, everyone has got excited about him. He gets involved with the fans. You can see it on the pitch that he's.
You don't need to make him captain for him to do that. He'll do it anyway.
I agree. Well, the same with Reeves then. You don't need him as captain, do you?
You
can do it anyway.
Because he will do the captain's job and he will do it 100%.
Okay, I will have a 25p bet that on the first game of the season, Reeves is not captain.
Do you want to do a food bet again? Because you still owe me food.
I still owe you at least one food bet. Double or quits?
Double or quits, I reckon. So I don't think Pell will be captain either.
Okay. So if Pell's not captain and Reeves isn't captain, is it just going to be Pierce and we're just going to get drummed?
Probably going to be Pierce, I think.
No, that's annoying, isn't it? Yeah. So, in terms of the from the window, then, so obviously, you think so far happy window for you?
Yeah, especially, I think we need a goalkeeper.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you, this is my next question.
Very interesting that nothing's been touted regarding Jack. Everyone keeps saying, "Oh, Jack Curry will definitely be gone," but he's gone to Spain. There's no real offers for him at the moment, I don't think. I think there's lots of interest in him, but there's no real offers. So I was going to say, if we keep Jack Curry, I don't think we need a left-back because obviously Brown's not going anywhere at the moment. So you've got Brown and Curry. Right, I think we need... It's tough to say. I don't think Ogun Dear is good enough. And Bilal, unfortunately, as good as he is, and I think he's absolutely brilliant, he's made a... He could break down within 3 weeks of the season starting. So I feel
that we're going to go wing-backs.
Yeah, I think three at the back?
Yeah, I think he's going to go three at the back, and he's going to go Curry one side and Billa the other.
He went three at the back last year, and it.
Well, I think. Well, I feel like that might be. Now, I mean, it's a weird one because we've basically signed a left winger, a right winger, and a right winger. But I just felt that Billa is not a great defensive right back. I don't think Curry is a particularly good defensive left back. So I wonder whether there is that room to play fullbacks. But if not, I mean. The proof will be in the pudding, but if you're looking at wingers, we've just signed three wingers, McLean, Tilly and Neuville. So perhaps my early hunch is out. But if you're looking at it, I feel like five centre-backs is enough, unless he gets rid of Nightingale, which I hope not, because I like him from a sentimental perspective, but from a footballing perspective, he's okay at being a backup, so, I think.
I've got a feeling that we don't really want Nightingale.
No, I agree. I kind of feel like I'll race with Nightingale. And like I said, I'm really sad to say it. And I think he gets another gig somewhere, but it's just the fact of, you know, he's going to break down over a year. And you know that he's 80% to 90% of a game, he's going to be great. But similar to probably Lewis, he's going to drop an absolute clanger at some point. And he does it regularly. He falls over or he'll make a horrible, horrible, horrible attempt at something. And I just feel like maybe that his, I mean, how old is he, do you reckon, Nightingale?
25, isn't he? 26? My problem is I feel sorry for PK, because PK was becoming a really good centre-back with Taylor last year.
Yes.
And then he got injured. And I think he's out till September, October. So that's why I think we might have bought back in.
So Nightingale is 27. He'll be 28 at the start of the season. So
I just, I love Will, and that is a Wimbledon man, but unfortunately, he doesn't play enough games for you. And I think where he has been injured over a certain time, his legs are kind of gone. He ain't got the pace anymore. He gets lost in positions. He kind of ball watches a little bit.
How many games, by the way, do you think Nightingale's played, right, for Wimbledon? Over 9 seasons he's been with us, right?
I think it's actually quite a lot, isn't it?
Well, you know the first couple of seasons, right? You know, you're finding that was a promotion year and that kind of stuff. How many games for AS Wimbledon? Bearing in mind that includes substitute appearances. How many has he played, Will Nightingale, in how many years that we said? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This will be his 9th season. No, he's had 9. This is his 10th season coming up. How many matches has he played for Wimbledon, do you think?
We just hope for 250.
175.
So that's pretty poor then, isn't it?
Pretty poor. That's like 20. I'm gonna do it. Maybe 25 a season max. I mean, we're talking
about... Is it 10 seasons or 9 seasons?
He's done 4, 4, 12, 18, 39.
How many seasons?
2, 3, 4.
Is this season his 10th?
9th seasons he's had. This will be his 10th season.
So he averages 19 games a season.
I mean, sheesh kebab.
That's pretty bad, eh? When what's his name? What's his face? Oh, Reeves played 46 games last year.
And again, this
you
is
you said he was injury prone.
And this is the problem, unfortunately, with Nightingale. So I kind of feel like with the centre, I feel like the 5 centre backs, he's got to be number 5. Obviously, for me, we're missing a backup left back. I'm not seeing a left back anywhere in the club apart from Brown and Curry, and I don't rate Brown. So I feel like we desperately need somewhere a fullback description. In my opinion, we probably need 2, a left and a right sider. If we're going to play 4 at the back, we're going to need a backup for Billa, because Billa's going to get injured, unfortunately. And Curry, if he does move, we're going to need another 2. So I feel like we need 2 fullbacks. I feel at the centre of the park, if Woodyard goes, I think we'll need one more.
I think we need one more anyway.
We've got Reeves at the moment. Who else have we got?
Reeves, Woodyard.
Pell, Woodyard. We've got the young lad, Alfie Bendel, Morgan Williams. None of the other new players are midfielders, centre midfielders. No. So I kind of feel like that is
I think Morgan Williams needs to go out on loan again for a whole season to Conference South, Conference team. Because he went out on loan. He done well at Eastbourne in the end, but he only went out for about a quarter or half the season last year to Eastbourne. I think he needs to go out now and get a full men's football season behind him. Come back. We've just signed a contract. I think all three of them, Paris, Sasu, and Morgan Williams all need to go out and get loans. So we need another midfielder. We need another winger to possibly go both sides, another striker, and probably another two midfielders, defensive and attacking.
I feel like, yeah, I mean, I think the other thing, which is it's a massive season for Bendel. Now,
yeah.
We're going left, going right. Either way, he needs to play somewhere, and he needs to play at a level that is going to be, in my opinion, he's got to play National South as the lowest. If he's the player that everyone's raving about, in my opinion, he's got to be in that team. If he's as good as, if he's talking about being linked with Mönchengladbach and all this nonsense, that boy has got to be playing for our team. He's got to be good enough. But if he's not in and around our squad...
That's the thing. He definitely went out to Gladbach. Someone said to me the other day it was a work experience. I'm thinking,
was he glad to be back?
Why are we sending a kid on work experience to Mönchengladbach for a week? He went out there on trial. They sacked their manager. He's now at Leeds anyway, Farker. So he might come after Bendel for going up to Leeds. But yeah, they sacked their manager and it never worked out. He's back with us. Hopefully... I've not seen enough of him. I don't think many people have.
I haven't either. Right, and I don't think...
That's why I've seen little bits in here and there and think, yeah, he could be a player. But I've not seen him play 90 minutes. So I don't get why everyone raves about him. But we're going to have to move on there because we're talking quite a lot here.
It's a podcast. So in general, just so we're clear, we reckon we're missing a keeper, potentially.
Yep.
We're missing two fullbacks.
Yep.
We're missing a centre midfielder.
Two centre midfielders.
You reckon two centre midfielders?
Yep.
And a forward, probably. That's five. Yep.
Six players.
And we really feel like we're going to get rid of Woodyard and Brown.
I don't think we will.
But that's who, what we're thinking.
That's who we would like to.
Okay. All right. But, so that's fair enough. Well, okay.
So other than players at the moment, what else has happened? So the fixtures have come out. We've got pre-season. We're in Spain currently.
Playing Reading.
Yeah, which I was quite disappointed with regarding...
Surely we could have played someone local. Come on.
That's what...
It just doesn't feel like an overseas trip if you're playing Reading in Spain. It just doesn't... Is that the only game we're playing?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And it really annoys me because I spoke to Danny Macklin about this, and Danny Macklin said it's hard because you've got to pay for the pitch fees and all that. And if you have it at a stadium, it costs more money. But my problem is when you did Germany a couple of years ago, and Germany is one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life watching Wimbledon, going out to Frankfurt and watching Wimbledon play two games, Kaiserslautern off kickers off and back. Was just unreal. And that's what I wanted again. And also, I'm a bit disappointed with the club that the fact that it took them so long to announce anything. So by the time they had announced it, a lot of people couldn't book up because, one, the prices had just gone through the roof. And two, people couldn't then get the time off work because they didn't have enough time to give notice to their work. Do you know what I mean? And I know a few people have gone out there, Don's Vlogs. There's a couple other Wimbledon fans have gone out there. Circuit from the club shop's out there, I think, at the moment. And a few others out there. I hope they have a good time. Don't run into Preston, who look like they've taken Benidorm over.
Yeah, I saw that. We were promised a pre-season tour against overseas people and we're playing Reading. It just seems, like I said, people have tried their best. I understand all the logistics and the bits and bobs. Just amazed there isn't a foreign club somewhere who wouldn't have entertained us playing.
Next year, Wimbledon, do Prague. Or Dusseldorf. That's it. Done. If you don't do it, then you've let the club down.
Why don't we do it? Why don't we organise the tour?
Oh, mate, I'd love to.
Why don't
we
say to Danny M, look,
Bohemians,
we'll get the games going.
Meteor in Dusseldorf. Go and play a team called Wuppertala, FC Fortuna Cologne. Mate, it'd be unreal. Be the best weekends of our lives. And it would really then bring the club closer and we'd win stuff because of that. But yeah, but yeah, what do you make of the kits, Dan? The new kits come out.
I like the home one. Very Boca, big Boca fan. So I love the blue and the yellow. The white kit, I'm not so bothered about. But
I love the white kit. I just don't like the yellow. The yellow line each side.
I think the home kit's really good.
No, I like. I'm getting the away one, and I'm getting the yellow goalkeeper one.
God, look at you, money bags. The yellow goalkeeper one looks really good.
I am disappointed. Again, I say we do give the positives, but there is a couple of negatives regarding the kit. For me, I don't like the fact, and we said this last year, it's only 1 year.
Is it really?
Yeah, all of them are only 1 year again. All of them.
Oh, that's rubbish, mate.
And the price have gone up. So it's 53 quid now instead of 50. know what I mean? So
I don't really get how you can have a kit for a year now in League Two.
Well, our third kit this year is going to be that dark blue one that we had as our away kit last year, but it's going to be a different design. So it's a whole brand new kit again. So every single one of our kits are all changing this year.
You can't change it from last year, the dark blue. I mean, just leave it.
No, it's changing. It's going to be that colour, but it's going to be a different style again. It's Umbro as well. I'm not a big fan of Umbro either. I'd love it to be Adidas, but obviously that would then, it would just be a normal kit. We wouldn't be able to do it the way we want it.
I feel like Umbro is like in the second or third league. Like I always feel the top league is Adidas, Nike.
Adidas.
At the moment, that Castore seems to be really popular.
Castore. It's Castore.
Are you sure? I think it's Castore.
It's not Castore, it's Castore.
Well, why not?
Anyway.
I'm trying to be more confident.
The kits are beautiful. Love them all. I just don't like the fact it's 1 year. I just feel like we're supposedly this fan club that's just, you know what I mean? I know, I get it, we've got to pay, but I just feel like it's a bit of a rip-off if you're doing it every year. Do you know what I mean? I've got 3 kids now.
You've got loads of outgoings.
Cost me a lot of money, do you know what I mean? And some people go, well, just don't buy it. It's like, well, try and tell a 14-year-old that you can't have the fucking kit, do you know what I mean? And when you're designing them and they're that nice, oh yeah, you can't have any of them because, I mean, it costs a fortune.
Are you doing a season ticket? What's still about season ticket price and stuff?
I didn't get a season ticket. I think one thing that really disappointed me with season tickets again this year was the price for the kids went right up. I think I would have probably bought myself a season ticket and bought my 3 kids season tickets if the price of the kids tickets would have been cheaper. I just think they were really expensive. I thought, were they 90 quid, 75 quid? I can't remember now. But I think last year I paid only 20 quid or something like that for my 7-year-old. And he doesn't really like football. I want to try and get him into it, but I can't go every week. And just taking him along, and it cost me a fortune. I'm hoping to go to Wrexham if I can get a ticket for it, because it's going to be a nightmare. I need 2 tickets for it for me and my boy.
Going to be lively.
Yeah, I know. I'm hoping, well, Wrexham will sell out because their first away game in the EFL. And Sutton.
I was going to say, what have you identified match-wise?
Well, Wrexham, I want to go to. First home game.
Wrexham at home.
Home games are a ball ache for me. It's not, I love Plough Lane to bits, but getting down there can be an absolute ball ache from Southend. I'm going Southend away in July, pre-season.
That's around the corner from you.
Also, don't go booking anything, people, because I don't think Southend will have a team by then. They're in big trouble, massive trouble. Their sponsors are all pulled out. They might know their players have stopped training, stopped doing pre-season. All their players are going to leave. So they're in big trouble unless they get a takeover very, very soon. But Wrexham, I need, if I can get a ticket for it, once they go on sale, I need an adult and child ticket for that. Sutton, I'd love to go to as well. But again, it's if I get a ticket, because that will be season ticket holders only, I think. So that might be a bit of a struggle. I'm going to Colchester away again. It's only around the corner. And I'm booked in to go to Walsall away because I'm going to stay on a Friday night up in Birmingham, see my boy Buzz.
Oh, yeah. Like you did last year.
Yeah, we'll probably do it every year now because he lives up there. So
you're going to keep constantly surprise him? Or?
No, we've told him this one. He's already booked
him.
So we've already booked all up. Hotel's booked. Get the trains closer to time. Birmingham's great. Walsall's a really good away day. The stewards are spot on. I love the little ground, the little stand you're in. It makes a little bit of noise. And we always have a good game up there, except for last season when we lost 3-1. But yeah, it'd be decent. So I'm Walsall. Barrow away, I'm looking at going Barrow in October. But October's our worst month. Have you seen October?
I'm right in front of it. Harrogate away.
We play Harrogate away on a Tuesday night. Then we have, we got Barrow away, Morecambe away.
Yeah.
And Bradford at home.
Oh, God.
So I'm choosing Barrow or Morecambe. I've been to Morecambe twice. My boy wants to go to Barrow because it's one of the furthest trips you can go to. So I'm going to try and get him up to Barrow this year.
I've got to be careful because Mrs. Baker's next to me. But I'm trying to get a couple more of my grounds done. So I've kind of looking at, and unfortunately, the ones I've got left are basically the ones that are missions away. So she's kind of shaking her head at me already.
Just put a pair of trousers on. Do you know what I mean?
Put a pair of trousers on.
Tell her who's boss.
I can't. She's wearing them in a minute.
Yeah.
I'm looking at definitely Barrow.
Yep.
Salford.
Yep.
Lovely that, but that's a day before my wife's birthday. So I might have to definitely...
Take her to Manchester for the weekend.
She would love that.
Now,
first game.
Coronation Street Tour.
And then The other question I've got, New Year's Day, Forest Green, I don't know if you've read the news today, got a women's manager.
Yeah.
Are they? Is she going to get to January the 1st?
Knowing the geezer owns them, probably he does. To be fair, she's got all her badges. Apparently, she's meant to be a really good coach. Do you know what I mean? Fair play to her. Yeah, some people on TalkSport today saying they don't really like it. I'm not really bothered. I just think it is the only one I've got. The weird thing I've got for me is when do the boys get chat? Do you know what I mean? There's in change rooms, you're talking to your players as they're getting changed. Do you know what I mean? And stuff. Do you know what I mean? There's always that going on, but. It's up to them. I don't like their chairman. He's the one who funds Don't Stop Oil. Don't Stop Oil,
yeah.
So, yeah.
What about Wrexham away? You looking at that one?
I don't know if I bother. I've done Wrexham before.
Oh, yeah, of course you have, yeah.
Well, when Christian Jolly scored and we won 1-0 and they absolutely battered us and we won 1-0 up there and nearly got battered off the pitches.
Remember it well.
We got battered off the pitch. I'm like you. I want to do a few of the ones I've never done before. Harrogate on a Tuesday night is a possibility. It's my missus' birthday on the Thursday. So I said to her, should we go up to Harrogate for your birthday and stay in a nice little spa hotel? She's all for it, but she don't know the fixtures. So,
of course you don't.
And then when I take her to Harrogate away, she'll be all over the moon.
Have you been to Notts County?
Yeah, I went there when we played them 3 times in one season. One game. You know, with the fog came in, got disallowed.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, I went there. I stayed up there in the hotel.
I'd like to do Stockport.
Done Stockport.
And then I'd like to do Tranmere. But
done Tranmere. I dressed as Father Christmas at Tranmere away once.
All right.
Yeah.
And Coventry in the League Cup. Happy with the draw? Bothered about the draw?
The thing, before we go on that down, the only problem I've got with fixtures this year is I'm away on the 5th of August. I'm in Spain. Mrs. booking holidays up during football season. I know. I've had words.
You need to get some trousers.
Oh, mate. Yeah, she's wearing them. Sorry, your wife's wearing them. That's what I should have said.
My wife's wearing both of our trousers.
Your wife's wearing my trousers. But the problem I got with the fixtures, some of my mates were booked up to go Grimsby, right? £72 they've paid for a train ticket. £72. And
that is scandalous.
Right? And they've
To book this early, it's still
£72 they've paid for a train ticket.
How long does it take to get to Grimsby?
About a couple of hours, isn't it? You got to Scunthorpe and then Scunthorpe to Grimsby, about 2.5-3 hours. But with your match ticket on top, you're looking nine. You've done £100, right? Before you even started eating and drinking, I've said to you before, and I've said it to loads. I'd rather jump on a plane and go watch a European game with the exact same amount of money and come back. Do you know what I mean? Spend a weekend in, say, Dusseldorf or something, and come back. And that's what I'll probably do a lot of next year if I can't get to games and stuff, because I just think the train company's a joke. You never know how women are going to perform. Do you know what I mean? We're very fickle. We'll probably be filling the ground next year when we're near the playoffs and stuff. But yeah, Coventry in the cup. I wasn't overly happy when I first saw the draw because obviously they nearly got promoted and stuff.
Yeah.
But if you look into Coventry at the moment, I think they're struggling big time.
Yeah, he's buggering off, isn't he?
He's going Sporting. I think they're losing. Robbins is very unhappy apparently because he's not getting any transfer budget. And apparently they always play a reserve team in the Carabao Cup and go out quite early. So,
all right, that'll change this year.
Well, it is us, isn't it? We always usually lose first round.
Well, it's a weird one because obviously I'm right in the middle of the cricket, so I kind of get overloaded with cricket. I don't do pre-season matches because I just find them frustrating. And it's that thing where I've got my dad and I'm like, right, Dad, these are all these millions of players. There's always a trialist that you never know who they are. And you're always playing it. It's always just, there's no oomph to it. So I'm not overly bored about the preseason, but once I get the Ashes out of the way, it'll be full steam football. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm just sort of, it's that fascinating month where I'm just looking at other teams and who else other people are getting. And I guess from a fan's perspective, just like you said earlier, I think the key thing for me is what is the club expecting or what are their aspirations are? Because we're not doing predictions or anything like that because it's far too early and we don't know what everyone else is doing. But I wonder where we as fans, what our expectations should be and how they're going to be set. I don't see us getting promoted, but I wonder where they're thinking, right, we as Wimbledon fans, we should be expecting this. I don't know.
I think a lot we said about earlier about the pre-season tour. Now, I think we'll know a little bit more after that because we've got this kind of meet the manager kind of event going on in the 12th man pub in Benidorm at the weekend. So hopefully they'll say a little bit more about expectations and stuff like that. Hopefully they won't big up the expectations like they did last year, promotion. Do you know what I mean? Because end up finished fourth and bottom. It ain't great when you said we're going to get promoted. And I know things happen in football, but I don't, it's so hard after the last couple of years, Dan. I'd take a mid-table finish tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? Craig Hoke's first window. He's got a January as well. And hopefully we can keep pushing on and we can keep signing decent players and hopefully they'll push on and we can become a more Wimbledon FC kind of club again and become closer to Wimbledon than we have been the last couple of years. Because I think that's what's... I know it's pissed me off and I know it's pissed a lot of fans off is that we're so scared of our roots or where we've come from previously, even as AFC Wimbledon. Do you know what I mean? It's, as I said to you at the start of this, we've become more of a political club and, do you know what I mean, and stuff like that than what we should be. We're a football club. We're a men's first team football club.
Yep.
And for me, that's the main priority is getting good results on a Saturday in League Two. Not even good results, just good performances, really. So,
I think that's the big difference. Is that where do we sit? Do we? I've always been about if the performance is good, if the performance is good, the results sort themselves out. It's just that balancing act as to where we sit. But I think it's been an okay start to the summer. I think we're more or less as a fans group relatively united as to what we've done. In terms of the signings and the ones that have gone, it'll be fascinating in the next couple of weeks because there's always someone who comes out of left field, coming in and going out. Whether that's Nightingale goes, someone comes in, whether that's Curry goes and a couple come in. So I'll be fascinated to see where we sit come the start of the season. But I'm quietly confident that we're moving in the right place. But it's fascinating. I just think it's a really interesting time for a number of people. Cope, Thorne, Jackson in particular, the Don's Trust board, who obviously, or whoever the, I don't want to go into conversations again about who's in charge of what, but whoever's decided that Jackson's our man, this is a crucial month.
That was the PLC board, not the Don's Trust board.
Fine. Well, whoever's in charge of those teams and of who's recruiting and who's doing whatever, I think it's a fascinating month or two where they've, in my opinion, it's been a huge, huge gamble, and whether it's going to pay off or not. For us, I think that's why it's quite an interesting and fascinating bit of time coming up.
No, I totally agree. And I think the club have got to get out more content, better content. As I said, the content's been a little bit better with regards to the... I'd like to see... I know we could get training ground photos and stuff, but I don't know if there's no Wi-Fi in Benidorm or something, but why has there not been any interviews? Like, get Reeves and Pell to sit down and talk about like the tour and stuff and talk about the season. Do you know what I mean? There's not been any, I've not seen Reeves interviewed since he signed. Do you know what I mean? You've got a perfect location, sit them down in front of the mountains, speak to them about the season. Do you know what I mean? I just think we can do it. And that's the kind of content that we need to be getting out. The content where you've mic'd up thing. We've done it with Bezo. I don't think we mic up Bezo because he's so loud.
No, we don't need, I don't really
10
need
years
to.
The man's been with us, Bezo. I think hopefully he'll get a proper, what's it called, that they used to do?
Testimonial,
because he does deserve it, man. 10 years at Wimbledon. And some of the goalkeepers that he's...
And again, you think about the amount of money that he's generated our club in terms of selling on fees and other stuff. Yeah. Phenomenal. Absolutely
big,
phenomenal.
Big
whatever he does, he carries on what he's doing.
But I think the content just needs to keep coming out. Again, the training video photos and stuff, I think, don't it? Just get a video out of, say, Pell and Reeves or Newville and McLean and get them out while they're out of wage. Do you know what I mean? It's easily done. Do you know what I mean? And get them out and get them speaking an hour after training. Do you know what I mean? And get them interviews over for us to get so we can fall in love with these players again, because I think that's what's been missing. The love for the players and the Wimbledon isn't been there for the last couple of years for a lot of fans. Do you know what I mean? As much
and I think,
as we've,
I think we've been a losing gained... team for a decade, haven't we, really? So we just need to find a way to galvanise. I mean, the good thing is we're still selling season tickets. The good thing is people are still coming.
The season ticket stuff is great, right? We've sold, 500-600 new season tickets?
Apparently.
But we've also lost 600 people that have walked away. Do you know what I mean? And why have they walked away? Is it because they can't afford it anymore? Or is it because the football's been so bad, the club they used to love is not like it anymore. They're sick of the politics, sick of the Don's Trust Board, do you know what I mean, and stuff like that. We won't talk about all that stuff today. This is no. about preseason. We'll have plenty of time to talk about Don's Trust and stuff later on and stuff and you know what I mean, the stuff at the back end of last season that really got on people's nerves, like with the Meet the Manager event and then not getting it out and having all that and people not voting against it. As I said, we'll go into that another time, but yeah, we need to, they need to galvanize the fans again, and we're getting signings in. Let's hear from them. Let's be, so we know more about them. Do you know what I mean? I'd love to hear more about McLean and what is he doing now? Is he moving to London? Is it him and his girlfriend moving here? Like, where does he see himself coming next season and stuff like that? Do you know what I mean? And getting more interviews with the players like they did with Johnny Jackson at his house. That's what I think we need more of.
Well, speaking of what we need as well from a podcast, anyone out there who would love to become part of what we're doing, want to come on an episode, whether you've been on before, but in particular, those who haven't been on before, it is just to one very, very good looking bloke, one well past himself. I'll let you as decide who it is. If anybody is interested to come on, we'd love to hear your thoughts, your feelings, your stories, your chat. If you know someone who's, you know, not sure, anything that you can think of, please get in touch. We'd love to get people on. It's always great with me and Lee doing it because we've got, you know, I think the Times magazine said we had natural chemistry, which they're right. But it'd be lovely to get some new faces on, new names, new voices. And it, yeah, the start of a new season, you know, if you're positive, you're upbeat, you fancy chatting, or you're just negative and you've got the let Lee know, let us know, let's come and have a chat.
Agree. I think, and they were shitting themselves last year because there was a new duo on the
big
on
time.
The course. Do you know what I mean? But I've had a couple of people contact us who we've spoke to, so they'll be coming on, and then we'll be doing our interviews and stuff. And we're back. The number one AFC Womenall podcast is back. Lee Finch, Danny Baker.
Just Doyle. No, we're not doing that.
Right. Well, we'll be back very soon with more podcasts with the season coming up. But that's enough from me and Danny today. Danny, thank you very much, mate.
Come on, you Don.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.